I want to speak this evening upon a subject that I have entitled The Blockade of the Hell Track. The Blockade of the Hell Track. And I'm turning to the 13th chapter of Proverbs and to the verse 15. But the way of the transgressor is hard. But the way of the transgressor is hard. Men go to hell because of their sin. It is sin that separates a man from his maker. It is sin that traps and snares his feet in the pathway of life. It's sin that digs the sinner's grave. And that it is sin that damns a soul eternally in the lake of fire. And God has made the pathway of sin difficult. Some people have said that the Christian pathway is not easy. But let me tell you, as far as Christ is concerned, His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. And with all the difficulties, and all the heartaches, and all the headaches of the Christian life, praise God, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory all the way. But the way to hell has been blockaded by barriers that God in His providence, that God in His love, that God in His mercy, that God in His grace has erected. And it's not easy for a man or a woman to go to hell. God has made it especially difficult for souls to damn themselves in hell. And I want to speak tonight about some of the God-erected barriers down the path of life that put a brake on the sinner, that erect before him a great barrier, a great blockade, so that the sinner can't run or stampede to the pit. But time and time again, his path is blocked. Time and time again, his progress is impeded. Time and time again, he's held back by the sovereign omnipotence of God. And he's kept from dashing on into the abyss of eternal darkness. The first great barrier on the road to hell is this blessed old book of God. My, this is some book, isn't it? How many souls have been stopped on their downward career because of the precious text of the Word of God? I know hundreds of souls, and they went on down the hell track, and then one day, that great text, the last verse of Romans 6, came right before them. The wages of sin is death. And they tried to get past it, and they couldn't. And they tried to climb over it, and they couldn't. And they tried to push through it, and they couldn't. And praise God, they fell at the foot of the cross. And God gloriously and wonderfully saved their souls. That's a great text. And there are many texts in the Word of God that sinners couldn't climb over, that sinners couldn't push through, that sinners couldn't take. And they stopped them effectually and turned their feet to the way of salvation and grace. What Belfast man, what Ulster man doesn't remember the Titanic and its tragedy? Aboard the Titanic was a man of God, the Reverend John Harper, a great revival preacher. There's a church, a Baptist church, in the city of Glasgow. It's called the Harper Memorial Church. I preached in its pulpit. It was erected in memory of this great man of God. When the fated ship went down into the icy cold waters, John Harper went down with that fated vessel. And as he hung on to a piece of driftwood, he saw a man just beyond him in the billows. And he cried out, "Man, are you saved?" And the man floating in the water said, "No, I'm not saved." John Harper cried, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And they were parted in the billows. Some time later, they came almost together again. John Harper cried again. He said, "Man, are you saved?" The man replied, "No, I'm not saved." The great soul winner cried, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." They parted again. And the third time, by providence, they were brought together. And Harper cried a third time, "Man, are you saved?" And the man replied, "Yes, I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved." And they parted, but this time, until the day the Lord comes. And John Harper sank and his body was buried in the briny deep. But that man was rescued. And in a meeting in Canada some months later, he stood up and he said, "I am John Harper's last convert. He led me to Christ in the ocean wave. He pointed me to Jesus." My, that tax believe in the Lord Jesus Christ was a barrier that that poor sinner couldn't clamber over, even though he was perishing in the waves. By these grave texts of the Word of God. Oh, that God would use some text of Scripture, friend, this evening. Oh, that God tonight would erect some text of Scripture before you, that with all your force and tenacity and iniquity, you couldn't climb over. But that text would be an effectual plug-in of hell's track as far as you personally are concerned. May God grant it. God has erected other barriers besides the Bible on the road to perdition. God has erected a great barrier through a mother's influence, through a mother's love, and through a mother's prayers. Reuben Archer Torrey, the contemporary of D.L. Moody, the great Bible preacher and world-famous evangelist, tells in one of his sermons how, as a young student, caught up in the false philosophies that he had imbibed in studying at German universities, that he had lost faith in the Bible. And he had lost trust in the principles of morality. And he was a young man and he was drifting and drifting and drifting. And he took to drink and to sin and to all the sins that young men in their passions indulge in. And one night he came home to the place where he was staying. And he threw himself on the bed and he was beaten and baffled. And he said, "I'll finish with it all." And he went over to a chest and he drew out the top drawer. And he took a revolver from the drawer and he put it to his ear. And he was going to pull the trigger and finish with life forever. And he said, as I took up that revolver, a power got the hold of my wrist. And my wrist was twisted and the gun fell on the floor. And he said, I fell beside that gun upon my knees. And I called and my mother's God to save me. And he says, God saved me. And the next morning I rose early and I got the train and I traveled for almost 2 days. For he was far away from home. He was 427 miles from home. And he said, I came in through the home and I said, Mother, I've got really saved. And he said, Mother, 2 nights ago, I took a gun from my drawer and I was going to commit suicide. She said, Son, at that very time I was on my knees weeping for you, praying that my boy Reuben would be saved. And she said, I knew that God had answered prayer. I want to tell you, friend, a mother's prayers, a mother's love, a mother's influence are barriers erected on the road to hell. The way of the transgressor is hard. The man came into this meeting during 1968. He hadn't been in a religious service for 40 years. And when the appeal was made, he staggered out of his seat and he made his way to that little room at the back of the platform. And when I entered that room, he said this to me. He said, Mr. Paisley, it was nothing that you said. It was nothing in the sermon. But he said, when the great congregation started to sing, Just As I Am, without one plea, he said, I remember my mother sitting at the old organ at home when I was a boy. And she used to sing that hymn. And she used to pray for me of a Sunday evening, and I would kneel by her side. And he said, all the force of that, after these many years, and I'm almost 60 years of age now, it all came back to me. And he said, I said, I must settle this question. And praise God, he settled it. And the next night he brought a friend with him, and that friend got saved as well. I want to tell you, friend, a mother's prayers, a mother's influence, a mother's love is a great blockade of the road to hell. Christian mother, keep praying. God will hear your prayers. Christian father, keep praying. God will hear your prayers. Unanswered yet, the prayers your lips have offered. In agony of heart these many years, does hope begin to fail? Does faith seem vanquished? Think it all in vain. Those falling tears, say not the Father hath not heard your prayer. You shall have your desire sometime, somewhere. Is there some young person here tonight and you've been making a fool of yourself in sin? Is there some young woman tonight and you've been away on the highway of life and your heart is stained and your soul is stained and your conscience is coarsened and your character's corrupted because of sin? Let God answer your mother's prayers tonight. Let God answer your father's cry for your soul. In God's name, turn to Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near. And then, of course, the gospel sermons that we hear. These sermons form great barriers. They erect great blockades on the road to hell. I'm glad many sermons that I have preached have stopped men going down to the pit. When I was a young preacher, just a stripling, I preached in this hall. It was packed with number 6, District LOL from Ballymacarrot Orange Man, from floor to ceiling on the back of this platform. I remember it well. Lord Glentorne was on the platform. And there was a Church of Ireland curate, a fellow called Hugh Pritchard. He was a saved fellow. And he said to me, "Paisley, if you ever preach to men, preach to them today. Let them have it." He said, "Some of these fellows are walking the primrose path to hell." Those were his words. I remember it well. And I came out onto this platform and I preached. And God helped me. And there was a big, tough, orange man. He was worshipful master of an orange lodge in number 6 district. As tough a man as you could meet. He had committed all the sins in the book. A hard, tough, blaspheming sinner. And he sat there and praised God. God smote him. Then he went out. And that week he was miserable. And he was passing up Consbrook Avenue. And there's a gospel hall at near Consbrook Avenue. And Park Avenue, I think, is the exact place where it is. And he saw a big notice up. Special meetings, evangelist Mr. Harold Paisley. He says, "That's the fella I heard in the Ulster Hall. I'm going in." And he went in. And that night, God saved him. And he said to my brother Harold told me afterwards, he says, "Don't you think you had anything to do with it?" He says, "It was another man of the same name." And my brother said, "That's my brother Ian." He says, "Yes, that was him, Ian Paisley. He was preaching to the orange man last Sunday afternoon." And he says, "I have been with that message ever since." And praise God, he got wonderfully and gloriously saved by the grace of God. Friend, I could go down my ministry tonight and I could tell you sermons that I preached. Sometime this past year, a man came to my home, the early hours of Sunday morning, tears running down his cheeks. And he said to me, "Mr. Paisley, I went to the Ulster Hall to mock you, to laugh at you, to curse you." And the next day I went into my work and I told all the men I was at the Ulster Hall. And he said, "I made a fool of you. I stood up and pretended to preach the way you preach. And I mimicked you, and I said, 'Boys, I'll do it every Sunday and give you Paisley's sermon the next day.'" And he did it twice. And he said, "Then I could do it no more." And he said, "The power of God came on me." And he says, "I've been walking up and down the street tonight." And he said, "I could only come and ask you to lead me to Jesus. Thank God for the sermons that are great heaven constructed barriers on the road to hell." God, make this sermon such a blockade tonight. May you not get past the truth of God tonight, sinner. May you be stopped. May the sharp brakes of conviction be slammed on. And may you stop in your mad career to eternal darkness and everlasting doom. And then, my friend, there's the blessed work of the Spirit of God in conviction of sin. My, what a barrier that is. When the Spirit of God comes down upon the soul, and when the truth burns like unquenchable fire within the heart, what a glorious thing that is. I was preaching in a tent in the county Tyrone. He was a big man, substantial man, a man of influence with a great name in his own locality. And he came into the tent and he sat there and he went away. I knew nothing about him. I knew nothing about his circumstances. Some nights afterwards he came back, and as I preached, the tent was disturbed with the sobbing. The loud sobbings of a man in the back seat, how he sobbed as I preached. And the whole tent was affected. And when I made the appeal, he walked down the aisle, and he got me by the hand, and he said, "Mr. Pidley, do you think God could do anything with me?" I said, "Yes, God can save you." And that man confessed to me a terrible crime that he had committed. And he had blamed his sin upon another man. And another man had been punished and vilified and scandalized because the man framed him to deliver himself from punishment. And he said, "What will I do?" And I said, "I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll cry to God for mercy. And then you'll put right what you've done wrong." And he said, "Mr. Paisley, I'll do anything under heaven to get rid of this burden." He said, "I left the tent the other night, and I have never slept since, and I walked round my farm, and there's not a hedge I haven't laid behind and wept my heart out." Thank God that man got saved and he put it right. And I had the joy of leading his family to Christ. And I had the joy of seeing wife and husband back to a proper relationship in their home. And when I'm preaching in that neighborhood, there's that man and his wife and his family, and they're all there, rejoicing in the mighty grace of God. Who did that? The preacher? Not at all. It was the Holy Ghost. This is what we need in our meetings, isn't it? The old time power. As the old colored preacher said, it's not a new church organ or a new church bell. It's the old time religion and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. Oh, that God would send His Spirit upon this meeting. That God would breathe upon you, my sinner friend. That the truth of God would grip you and pierce you to the quick and slay you at the heart. And then there'll be no coaxing needed. No long appeal needed. You'll come willingly. You'll haste to Calvary. You'll say, "He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine." And the last barrier I want to refer to tonight is the cross of Christ. Yes, down the transgressor's road is the cross of Calvary. And God has erected Calvary across your path. My sinner friend, God has erected a cross and stretched upon the cross the glorious body and person of Jesus Christ. To go to hell, you must go past the cross, past the blood, past the suffering, past the grace, and past the passion of God's Son incarnate in the flesh. Maybe you've clambered over the text of Scripture. Maybe you've kicked aside your mother's prayers and your mother's influence. Maybe you've put from your heart the sermons that you've heard. But oh, tonight can you pass the cross, the wondrous cross in which the Prince of Glory died? Could we for a moment consider Calvary? Could we climb the hill crag called Golgotha? Could we stand in the darkness under the shadow of God's Son in His crucifixion pangs, in the agony of His atoning work? His head, His crowned with thorns. His back is lacerated with a whip. I charge you, sinner, to look at the back of Jesus and count the streams of blood that pour forth from His quivering back. He gave His back to the spiders and His feet the laws that cuts off the hair. I charge you tonight to count the purple drops of blood that flow from His hands and His feet and His brow and His side. Can you go past the cross and go on to hell? Will this cross not stop you? Will this Christ not bring you to a standstill? Will that fountain filled with blood not stop you now and forever from going on to your destruction? What more must God do to the saving of your soul? Men and women, see from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love or sorrows meet or thorns compose so rich a crown? And every drop of Jesus' blood is calling to you and it's saying, stop! Every twist of the quivering flesh of Jesus is calling to you and it's saying, stop! Every wound is a mouth and every mouth is calling, stop! 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 May God stop you tonight. You're a 12 months nearer to hell than ever you've been before. This old year's dying, and it finds you dying in your sin. You may never see December of 1969. Nay, you may never see the first day of 1969. We have a dear sister who comes to our church, worships with us. She was at the prayer meeting on Monday night. And as she was at the prayer meeting, her dear father was suddenly called to eternity. Thank God he knew Jesus. Thank God he was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God he was saved. But my friend, if God called you, and we're living in a day of sudden deaths, man and woman, we're on the threshold of eternity, every one of us. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. I plead with you, it'll be my last opportunity in this hall in 1968 to plead with you. And with God's holy book in my hand, and God's holy word upon my lips, I plead with you, sinners, in God's name, stop this evening on the road to hell. Cry to God for mercy and salvation. And look to Christ and Christ alone for pardon, peace, and life everlasting. May God have mercy upon you. May the Lord save you. For Jesus' sake, amen and amen.